attention, start today. You feel a suicide. Sometimes that's okay. Do what I will say. I'm here standing hollow, falling away from me, falling away from me.
We'll be right back. welcome to the 900th episode. No, I'm just kidding. to the Insomnia Stream. To Tawana Browley edition. That's not Tawana Browling. Yeah, I'm the wrong thing up right now. All right. Well, that's sort of Tawana Browley. Tawana Browley edition. I'm your host, of course, Devin Stack. Hope you're having a good Saturday night. Hope you're having a good week. Hopefully it's been, it's funny. There's a little mini heat wave going on over here. And I look at the news. It's like, oh my God, is spring ever going to get here? It's cold as fuck over in the Northeast. Oh my God. I wish it was cold as fuck here. Very hot. Very hot. And, it's to be expected. The snakes are awake. I saw my first snake last night and my second snake this morning. So the snakes are awake. Nice big venomous snake. Walking last night, and this is why I wear a headlamp. It's like, what? That's not a stick. It's moving. Oh. Deadly snake. And this morning I'm working on some property. Just finished painting a room. A disgusting Carl's house room. And I open up the door when I'm all done and big ass fucking snake slithers on by in front of the door. I just open. I was like, oh great. It's that time. I think there's like a snake den underneath Carl's house because it slithered into some tube. Like I don't know where the tube goes. It's just like this big tube sticking out from underneath the house. And I'm like, it didn't seem to know where to go. I was like, is there more of you down there? Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about Tawana. It's kind of funny. I tweeted out, what was it, the other day? Actually, earlier this week, I think. That a fun game to do is to make up two black names. But, like, they have to sound kind of fake. And I think the names I picked were Quadarius, which I thought couldn't be real. And Shalana or Shanala, I don't know. I just put Shah and then some vowels and shit afterwards. And then look for that name and the word arrested. And they almost always have multiple results. And it became a fun game for the internet that day. It's got quite a lot of responses. As per usual, of course, lots of black people going, oh yeah? Like totally missing the point. Look up the word Chris or Steve and arrest it. It's like, yeah, but how many Chris's and Steve's do you think there are versus Quadarius? The mind of the Negro that cannot comprehend per capita. Anyway. But yeah, Tawana is another one of those names. She's changed her name. We'll get to that maybe. Maybe in a moment. It's no longer Tawana. But it's a real touching story. It's in fact, it's a story that explains the paranoia of blacks when it comes to the whites that they live amongst. Always presenting a danger to them. Often kidnapping them and torturing them, and then the white cops covering it all up. It's a tale as old as time. We've heard it before. We know what happens. We live in a systemically white supremacist society that's always looking out for the white man and always facilitating the white man's crimes against the Negro. That's precisely the history of America. In fact, you could pretty much sum up all of America's history simply by putting it that way. And this story tonight is an example of exactly that. You see, Tawana Brawley, she was minding her own business one night, and she was abducted. She went missing. She went missing for 4 days. And then on the fifth day, November 28th, 1987, she was found at 7:30 p.m. in this dumpster in her family's former apartment complex. It was the old complex she used to live in. She was in a trash bag, semi-conscious. She had dog feces smeared on her, as well as racial slurs, namely nigger and nigger bitch, were written on her body, and KKK, so that you would know that it was Whitey that did this. She was taken by the ambulance to the hospital. When the police arrived to interview her to find out what was going on, she appeared terrified of white cops. Wouldn't talk to white cops. And so the sheriff's department had a black cop, Tommy Young, interview her to try to find out what he could about what had happened to her and how she found herself in this state.
Mr. Tommy Young, a black police officer for the city of Poughkeepsie, was asked by the Dutchess County Sheriff's Department to question Tawana at St. Francis Hospital, as it was very clear to the Dutchess County Sheriff's Department that white police officers invoked fear in Tawana upon seeing them.
Or that they weren't.
Okay. Are you saying they did not have a black member of the Sheriff's Department?
I don't know if they do. I didn't have one on duty at that time.
I see. So now you arrived at the hospital approximately what time?
Approximately 7:45.
Who was present from the Sheriff's Department at that time?
Detectives Brazell and Detective Schmidt.
Okay. Did you observe them attempting to question her when up on your arrival?
No, I didn't.
Okay. What were they doing when you arrived there?
They were in a room across the hall from the treatment room Tawana was in.
Mm-hmm. And who brought you into the room?
Actually, I spoke to both detectives. They informed me of what little information they had gained. Excuse me. And I went across the hall on my own to speak to her.
What did they indicate that she had conveyed to them, or anyone for that matter?
They had no information other than her identity.
I see. And then you subsequently questioned her?
Yes.
Okay, what did she say to you, or what questions did you address to her?
I attempted to gain information on what had occurred, if she could give a description of her alleged assailants, where it happened, mm-hmm. and any information at all.
So what did she say to you in response to your questions?
She made no verbal statements. All my responses were gained through nods, head shrugs, batting her eyes. She said one word to me the entire time I spoke to her.
And what was that word?
That word was son.
Son? Did she repeat that?
No, she said it once.
Okay. Now, I do know in our previous interview with you, you mentioned that she mentioned white cop.
Right. Those words she wrote.
Those words she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
In response to what question?
I asked her if she had been raped. She nodded yes.
Mm-hmm.
I put by whom, at which point her aunt or her mother, one, I can't remember which, suggested I give her a pen and a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
I did. She wrote the words, white cop.
So she was raped, she says, by a white cop. And, you know, that goes right along with what I always hear about the Black American Experience. White cops going around and raping black chicks all the time. And eventually, because she wouldn't talk to police, she would pass notes or would talk through spokespeople and this sort of a thing. Eventually, the story that we got out of her was that around 8:30, 4 days prior, she was going home on the bus. And outside this mobile gas station, she got off the bus to go home. And while crossing the street, a car, a green four-door car, pulled up to her. And a large white man jumped out of the car, flashed a badge, and yelled at her to get in the car, bitch. And when she resisted, he grabbed her and punched her in the head and threw her in the car. They then drove her out to the woods. And for 4 days, these four white guys that were in this car repeatedly raped her and sodomized her for 4 days in the forest. They then cut her shoes and burned her hands and then wrote nigger on her and smeared dog shit on her and then put her in a plastic bag and dumped her in a dumpster. And she went home after she was at the hospital. She was very traumatized by the experience, obviously. The local news picked up on this right away, which immediately spread to nationwide news, which is odd because I always hear that it's only when pretty white girls are victimized that the news cares, but maybe she just got lucky. She just got lucky. Maybe there was a black guy working in the newsroom that day. And he decided to help his sister out. So they start talking about in the news about how this horrific crime is symbolic. Symbolic of the struggle of the black man and what they have to face. And soon she decided to hire, Reverend Al Sharpton to be her spokesperson and to be the, or to hire friends of his to be the lawyers, which is Alton Maddox and C. Vernon Mason.
The horrors of racial brutality. Tawana Brawley, a black teenager from Wappingers Falls, New York, was found last November in a plastic garbage bag. She was smeared with dog feces, covered with racial slurs. Brawley said she'd been abducted and raped by six white men, one supposedly a police officer.
So it was a big story. It was on national news, on all four networks. It was one of the big stories.
Tell him to shut up.
He told you to shut up?
He was a cop.
He was a police officer?
Show me a bag.
She had KKK written across her chest and nigger across her stomach.
The story shocked the people in this sleepy upstate town.
Yeah, there was a nice, quiet white town, which is exactly what you'd expect in a quiet white town. As we learned the last stream, it was very dangerous for a black man, or certainly a woman, to walk around in a neighborhood that was very white. And so she was just, it was a ticking time bomb waiting to go off, her putting herself in this dangerous situation all the time.
The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith today charged that violence against blacks and Jews has escalated in the past 6 years. The report said that even though there are fewer hate groups, the acts of violence included bombings, armed robberies, and murder. And today, Barry Peterson reports activists pointed as an example to the specter of hate in a small community in New York State.
Her name is Tawana Brawley, and people who have never met her think what she says happened to her represents something evil in this country.
That's right, something evil in this country. Evil and white. He had the ADL, of course. I like how they used the full name back then, the ADL of B'nai B'rith. A lot of people don't know that it's part of a Jewish secret society. But, ADL B'nai B'rith, talking about how, that's what's happening around the country. Record levels of violence against blacks and against Jews from, you know, the usual suspects, fucking white people, always going around committing these hate crimes. I gotta plug a thing in here. There we go. Just realized my Stream Deck's not plugged in because of my lack of USB ports. There we go. You had of course, the NAACP had to weigh in as well.
I don't think there's any question that there's been an increase, number one, in racial violence. And most of us who've dealt with the criminal justice system have never felt it's been fair to minorities or to blacks in this nation.
It's never been fair. The whole justice system, it's been skewed against black people. And it always rewards white violence against them. So, as I said, she had to turn to the only ally she could really trust. You know, Al Sharpton, who at the time was making his name by putting on demonstrations in New York City around this same time. He put on the Days of Outrage in New York City. This is, again, in 1988.
Demonstrators arrived an hour early at Borough Hall Park in Brooklyn for the protest. Organizers had called for everyone in New York City to join what they billed as a Day of Outrage, a massive exercise in civil disobedience. But only some 600 people turned out.
There were a number of young blacks in the march, but also many middle-aged men and women, people who remember the civil rights struggles of two decades ago.
No peace! No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
Many of the rallying cries were reminiscent of that era. Just as the rush hour was starting to build, the Reverend Al Sharpton led the demonstrators through the streets of Brooklyn, keeping police and a horde of media guessing before they stopped at the Brooklyn War Memorial. There they broke into three groups, one headed toward the Brooklyn Bridge where they stopped eastbound traffic, backing it up to the East 20s on FDR Drive in Manhattan. At the J Street station, 200 demonstrators climbed onto the tracks. Power had to be turned off. Some commuters sympathized with the protesters, but others were obviously angered. Sharpton and the other leaders headed for the Borough Hall station on the IRT below the municipal building. Police say that some protesters pulled emergency cords on several trains, while others held the doors open. As he waited to be arrested, the Reverend Sharpton denied that the low turnout was a defeat.
Some people say that the turnout in the march was disappointing today.
This is not a mob, this is civil disobedience. Martin Luther King never brought 1,000 people ready to go to jail. This is an overwhelming number to go to jail. No force in the history of this city ever put these many people in the streets ready to go to jail.
Get a load of that fucking front butt. Jesus Christ. You shouldn't wear like a satin, like what is that? He's wearing like satin pajamas. Like, oh, good Lord. Anyway. What he was protesting was the Michael Griffith case. The Michael Griffith case, the way it was described at the time, was a gang of white people murdered a black man who, again, like these dangerous white neighborhoods. He just happened to be he drove in the wrong neighborhood and his car broke down. He went to some pizza parlor asking for help, and then a bunch of white people killed him. What really happened was you had a lot of black violence at the time, and always, and forever. You just will, forever. That's just a forever thing. So get used to it if you want to live around black people. It's not a bug, it's a feature. And because of this, and because there was still a little bit of racial solidarity among whites back in 1988, Some of these neighborhoods would defend themselves when black people would come into these neighborhoods and chase them out. And that's what happened. This guy walked in. I don't know the validity of his car breaking down, all this other stuff, whatever. But what I do know is they chased him out of their neighborhood. And when he ran away, he got hit by a car. He wasn't murdered by a gang of whites. He ran into a street and got hit by a car. And the guy that hit him with the car wasn't like trying to run. It was just some car, random car hit him. And that was the big horrific Michael Griffith case. But anyway, because he'd made a name for himself, you know, creating outrage over nothing cases, the Brawley family turned to Al Sharpton, who immediately started saying that there was a cover-up going on, that the local district attorney was trying to hide something because of the white cop that she had claimed had raped her, so they were protecting the white cop, and that the investigation was bullshit.
We have come today because we have asked for the last several weeks for Mr. Abrams to...
By the way, he still can't, to this day, cannot pronounce ask, even though he's like a professional television personality. I don't know, is this show still on? Maybe it's, I mean, it was on just a couple of years ago. I don't know if it still is. The Ozempic version of Al Sharpton, the very aged and deflated looking Al Sharpton, he's not as glorious as he was in his satin pajamas here. So, but anyway, and the other funny thing is this Abrams guy, I mean, just based on his name, the special prosecutor that was brought in just in case there would be a conflict of interest because they were claiming that there was a white cop involved. They brought in a special prosecutor to convene a grand jury and check out the facts of the case and see, you know, if they're alleging all these crazy things, and they've brought in Al Sharpton, who's pissing off all the black people. We'll do it the right way, I guess, and we'll try to find out what's going on, see if some white cops kidnapped and raped this girl. And he was not cooperating with the grand jury. And he was yelling at this Abrams guy, the special prosecutor, and calling him a white racist and calling him Hitler, but he was a Jew. I mean, you know, like I said, with a name like Abrams, 99% sure he was a Jew.
Because we have asked for the last several weeks for Mr. Abrams to disband the grand jury. He has not done so. We are prepared to come in this building and spend the night or go to jail. We are prepared to stay here until the grand jury meets, if it's tomorrow, if it's next week, or we're prepared to be arrested. We do not seek jailing, but there is no legal way to try to stop this grand jury other than civil disobedience, which is why we did not announce the march, but we called out to our community for only those prepared to go to jail to accompany us this morning. We have brought out of New York City over 70 people prepared to go to jail. This is not a march. The march will be April 4th. This is a showdown on the legal criminal justice system.
Oh, we so they go in front of the police station.
For those of you who just arrived,
to cause a riot.
We want to tell you who we are. We are people. I want you to look at my hair. It's white. I started with Martin Luther King 27 years ago, and I was in a march like coming across that bridge, and I ain't tired yet.
I ain't tired yet. Brought in like the usual retards that come in and whip black people into a frenzy.
I'm up here!
he's up there.
I'm up here.
There he is. He's up there. So they try and fail to create a riot, and many of them get arrested.
When a grand jury investigating the case subpoenaed Tawana's mother, Glenda Brawley, Mason, Maddox, and Sharpton advised her to ignore it. Glenda Brawley was found in contempt of court and ordered to spend 30 days in jail. Mason, Maddox, and Sharpton convinced Tawana's mother to seek sanctuary in a church to avoid arrest and defied authorities to come and arrest her.
So then they because the family is not responding to subpoenas to go talk to the grand jury, that's they're trying to solve the crime. They're trying to solve the crime of what happened to their daughter. But because Al Sharpton and Alton Maddox and Vernon Mason, the lawyers, have told her that no, don't cooperate at all. We're going to run this. We don't play by the white man's rules. They go to the church even though she's found in contempt, and as we all know, if a white person, a high profile white person, was found in contempt of court, all they'd have to do is go to a church, and they wouldn't get arrested, right? They wouldn't get arrested. So they go to this church and hold, you know, basically hold like a 24-hour rally protecting her from being arrested by the court.
When the Brawley family refused to participate in the Abrams grand jury cover-up, he sought to punish the family by locking up Glenda Brawley, sought to harass Juanita Brawley, and to make Tawana Brawley the scapegoat for the crimes perpetrated against her.
This is a truly sad and unfortunate
That's
day.
Abrams.
I think Glenda Brawley received disastrous and irresponsible advice from her attorneys, from her representatives. They utterly failed to protect her interests. They utterly failed to offer a defense. They offered no defense whatever for her. They made no attempt to produce her so that she could make an informed decision, to hear from the judge what faces her by her not coming before the grand jury. I'm urging her now to try to purge this contempt, not to face a sentence in jail. I'm urging her to come before the grand jury. This has all been an effort not to punish the mother of a possible alleged victim. This has been an effort to get information, cooperate with the grand jury, find out exactly what happened, to bring justice, to find out if indeed there were attackers, what information we can have to go and charge those attackers. So I'm urging Glenda Brawley to take the steps to purge this contempt that the judge has found here today.
But Al Sharpton is creating a media circus around the whole ordeal, you know, trying to sidestep the fact-finding mission of the grand jury to try to really get to the bottom of what exactly happened to this girl. You know, we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're spending actually more money than we would normally to try to crack this case. In fact, they even got Phil Donahue to go to the church and do an episode of Donahue live from the church.
The fact that you've got 500 black people in this room and every one of us got a different complexion means that white rape is a reality in the United States.
Yep, white rape. It's a reality. You know, white people are always going around raping the black people. And look, obviously, you hear the crowd. All the black people jump up and scream, and they're happy. And it's an extremely racial case nationwide, but it's extra racial for black people in a way that I don't think white people understood, because this is the stuff they didn't air. This is Tawana Brawley's lawyer, Alton Maddox, speaking to that same congregation. And I want you to listen to the words and the language that he uses to describe this case and their relationship to the law enforcement and the DA's office and the grand jury.
Let us not forget that Juanita Brawley is facing false criminal charges up in Wallkill, New York. But Juanita Brawley is not a criminal. And Juanita Brawley is not going to bow because Robert Abrams caused those criminal charges to be lodged against her. Let us not forget that Glenda Brawley has there been slapped with contempt, may possibly lose her job with IBM. But nonetheless, she has said that I will not go before that grand jury and purge myself of the white man's contempt. One, Glenda Brawley is not going to apologize to Whitey, because too many of us have apologized already.
Not going to apologize to Whitey. I also like how he couldn't say lodged. He's all larged. They're trying to large these things against her. But he gets real. He's calling them Whitey, saying they're not going to kneel down to Whitey. And listen to the crowd. They're loving it.
I want to serve notice on Whitey today if he has not heard this before. I will never apologize to the white man for anything that I do in America.
He will never apologize. And by the way, that's true. And he's not unique in that view. As you can well hear, every black person in that congregation 100% agrees with that statement. They feel as if they don't owe anyone an apology. If anyone, Whitey owes an apology to them. Now, this is real interesting, because this is in 1988, and I keep hearing that in the 90s, that there was no racism at all. Even though the race riots happened in the 90s, the L.A. riots, Rodney King, O.J. Simpson. Now, all these things that the people saying this were like in diapers, so I guess they just didn't know about it. They were too busy watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air to realize that things were not all hunky-dory. Things were not just like, let's all hold hands and sing the I want to give everyone a Coke, everyone in the world a Coke song. This is the kind of shit that was happening in 1988. This is the kind of shit that's happening in 2008. And this is the kind of shit that'll be happening in 2028. As long as you have blacks in your society, this is what you'll have. And if you get more blacks in your society, you'll have what's going on in South Africa, where they're literally singing about killing you.
White folks said that you're not going to get a trial, that we are going to take you out on some lonesome dog road and string you up. And too many of us have had that experience visited upon our families. Well, let me tell the white man one thing. That as long as I am in your courts, and as long as I am attempting to get due process of law for Pagonis by forcing him to go to trial, then I'm going to do as I please in your courts.
So he's saying they don't have to participate in the legal system the way that the white man has designed it. That they have been the victims of white violence for centuries. And now they can do whatever they want. And then he referenced the assistant DA. They accuse the assistant DA as being one of the four white men that repeatedly raped Tawana Brawley for 4 days in the forest. So now it's a white cop that we don't know who it is, and it's the assistant DA. And they are publicly naming the assistant DA, and the media is running with it. And the community is wondering, like, did he do it? Like, really? Did our assistant DA rape some black chick? Because there doesn't seem to be a lot of pushback on this. Everyone's just talking about, well, this fits the narrative that we all know. Blacks are oppressed by the white supremacist society. It's like the George Floyd thing all over again. Well, the precursor, I mean, this you're going to have a George Floyd every few years. Forever. Whether it's George Floyd or Tawana Brawley or, you know, Rodney King or any of these people, that every 4 or 5, it's not even every 10 years, it's like every 4 or 5 years you get a new one of these. And it gives blacks the, it doesn't matter that none of them ever check out, right? Like under like the slightest amount of scrutiny, turns out they're all bullshit, which makes you start to wonder, well, why don't they want this grand jury to proceed? You know, if this is a fact-finding step towards getting a trial, like he's saying, oh, they don't want to have a trial. They want to string us up and hang us. No, that you can't get a trial until the grand jury figures out what the hell's going on. And that's what, if you're not going to let the mother and Tawana go speak to the grand jury to say their side of the story, get it on the record, it's a little tough to have a trial. If anyone here is preventing a trial, it's you. And it's because you want to have the trial in the court of public opinion. Look how well it worked out for George Floyd.
Because by me being in your courts shows that I am more civilized than you, who take it to a pine tree. So I have a right to do anything that I so please in your courts. Because if this had been six black men who had lynched a white woman, you would not be here today debating due process. You would not be here today debating their sentence.
Or their strategy.
Or their strategy.
That's right.
Because the act of death, the sentence of death that you would have imposed would have been swift and it would have been certain. So we have a right to do as we so please. And I can tell you this. If you shut the court houses down to us, we will not get down on our knees. But we will get in those fields like you and track down the Pagonises and the Pattersons and get a black man.
So her lawyer is now saying that they're going to lynch, black people are going to lynch the assistant DA that they've accused as being one of the rapists. And that it's totally justified because black people have been oppressed by the white man forever. And you heard the cheers in the crowd. I mean, that's a pretty radical thing to say. that if you don't take this to trial, we're going to go lynch the assistant DA and kill him. Well, I mean, it can't go to trial unless you cooperate with the grand jury. And so really what it sounds like is you're trying to foment some kind of violent altercation between the black people and the government and, you know, the cops. Meanwhile, there start to be some rumors that perhaps Tawana's story isn't 100% true, which we'll get a little more into that later. And so she holds a press conference to confront these rumors.
My name is Tawana Brawley. I'm not a liar and I'm not crazy. I simply just want justice, and then I want to be left alone. My family and I saw that we couldn't get any justice, so we decided not to cooperate. We had no New York Times to leak to. So we got Alton Maddox, C. Vernon Mason, and the Reverend Al Sharpton to fight for us. They, under extreme pressure, have done so. We have said that I would give full testimony to an impartial grand jury. Impartial grand jury.
Gone, Tawana.
And a congressional committee. Why won't they let me?
Don't worry about it.
Mr. Abrams, you know the truth, and I know it too. Why don't you just step aside and let me speak to people who I know will help me? Yeah. I wish to thank God for sparing my life. He will see me through. I don't know the future, but I do know who holds it. He holds my hand, and he let me live to stop the cover-ups once and for all. I have not deceived my family, my advisors, and most of all, my people.
That's very racial. Also, I mean, look, I keep hearing how blacks are very religious and they take religion very seriously, and she's talking about God in a way that would be very blasphemous if she was lying. You know, the kind of thing that would maybe even send you to hell if you were a believer of that sort of thing. And so, the blacks are very religious, very, socially conservative. They're natural conservatives. They used to say that. I don't think they say that so much these days because it's just obviously stupid. But that's, people are like, oh, wow, she sounds very sincere. Very sincere. Yeah, Al Sharpton going on Nightline on national news to talk about the case with his gigantic Olympic medal for eating burritos.
This girl was found with excrement all over her body, KKK, nigger written all over her torso. The medical records show she was unconscious. All of the testing proves she was not feigning that. They did not test her for rape, as you stated, because they picked her up as homeless.
Actually, not true.
Medical tests showed no evidence of rape.
Uh-oh. See, that was part of why the grand jury was in no rush to go straight to trial. Because one of the glaring inconsistencies between her story, I mean, one of the many, really, and the evidence was that if you were a 15-year-old girl dragged into the forest and raped repeatedly over the period of 4 days by four men, there'd be some signs of trauma there. And there were no signs of trauma there. They did like a rape test and everything. There was not only were there no signs of trauma, there was no semen or anything like that. And that's kind of a big deal. That's kind of a problem. Because that doesn't make any sense. But Al Sharpton continues on that, you know, there's obviously a cover-up going on because of the white cop and the white assistant DA involved in all this.
We have the facts and the evidence that an assistant district attorney and a state trooper did this.
And on national news, you know, he's claiming that they did this, and people are believing it. People are believing it because it fits within the narrative that white people are evil, and that's basically, that sums up white history. It's just evil. It's just never-ending, ceaseless evil, especially as it pertains to our interactions with other races. It's just a long trail of blood, and that blood is on our hands. And lots of boomers believe this shit. And the media was kind of in a tight spot, because the media had been portraying all these other stories that were also kind of loosey-goosey on the facts, like the Michael Griffith story, where they were trying to make it sound like a mob of white men basically, you know, if you didn't know better, beat him to death. And a couple other cases, similar cases that were going on in New York at the time, as you had the racial tensions that will, again, never end as long as you have a multiracial society. And the media have been pushing these stories that were, at least there was some kind of truth to it. And so when it started to seem like maybe there was a problem here, they were kind of stuck. They'd already framed it as like this, you know, a symbol of the evil of America, as they said in that previous news report, which was a national, in fact, I think it was on the same network as this, national news report. And so they were still giving Al Sharpton airtime. They were still giving his lawyer or her lawyers airtime. And I think just hoping that they would work out.
For many blacks, Tawana Brawley became a symbol of still simmering racial hatred. Led by Reverend Al Sharpton, her lawyers, Alton Maddox and C. Vernon Mason, charged police and even the governor with a cover-up in the investigation. They said Brawley couldn't get justice in a system insensitive to blacks. They told Tawana and her family not to talk to anyone.
Yep, while, again, claiming that the assistant DA was involved, bizarrely, the IRA was involved, and yes, that is the Irish Republican Army. Al Sharpton claimed that the Irish Republican Army was somehow involved in the rape of Tawana Brawley in New York. Maybe that's why the four-door car was green, right? The luck of the Irish. So he's claiming that the IRA is involved. He's comparing Abrams to Hitler. Again, Abrams is a Jew. He's saying that the mob is involved. He's just saying, like, crazy shit. And, you know, it's funny, because black people, didn't matter how crazy it got, just like with the OJ trial, black people believed it. And again, it's funny because I retweeted this. This fucking idiot here, I don't even really know him, but he's an idiot if he said this. He says, by 1999, racism in America was virtually gone, thanks largely to these four men. No, you don't understand. It was gone. And the four men has pictures. It's Jewish propaganda. It's Bill Cosby, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michael Jordan, and the guy from Family Matters, you know, whatever. But it's like it's fictional black people. Well, I guess Michael Jordan's real, but he plays a sport. He's an athlete. Anyway, so he's trying to, This proves everything. People want to know why I do these kinds of, well, not this kind of stream necessarily, but like the streams about propaganda in the 90s. This is why. Because dumb fucks like this really believed it. Like, really believed it. And now they're begging for more of it. They think this will fix the problem. No, guys, it's cool. Everything's fine. All we need is shows like The Cosby Show and Family Matters and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and then Black Athletes, which I don't, we have like a billion of them. What? I don't know why Michael Jordan's on there. That's all we need, guys. We just need Hollywood telling everyone the blacks are well-behaved and giving you the perception that it's fine. That way, when the L.A. riots happen, you're like, it's not all blacks. That's just the bad ones. It's so fucking stupid. And what makes it even fucking stupider is, guess what? The number one guy in that list, Bill Cosby, not only was he raping chicks during the 90s and in the 80s, ta-da! He was buddying up with Al Sharpton during this whole thing and putting his celebrity status behind the case, giving it validity, stirring up the coals in the fire, making public statements.
Let Miss Brawley represent an example of what we're not going to stand for as parents, as Americans, and as human beings.
So he's out there promoting this case, saying he's not going to stand for it. Other prominent blacks, including Mike Tyson and Don King, also having press conferences and telegraphing their support for Tawana Browley. But try as they might, they just couldn't get that grand jury to dissolve. The grand jury went on and continued their investigation. They enlisted the help because the case was getting so big now. They enlisted the help of the FBI. The millions and millions of dollars were spent on this investigation. And despite the lawyers' protests.
In this country, in 1988, there is no protection for any person of African descent. And anybody who believes otherwise is out of his or her mind.
Despite their complaints, well, the findings of the grand jury were finally released to the public.
In the end of a sometimes pathetic goose chase, the Tawana Brawley story has been a sensation far beyond the small New York town where it began. A black teenager claimed to have been raped by a gang of white men last fall, and her lawyers used the case in an attempt to undermine the entire system of justice. Now a grand jury has decided the crime didn't happen. Here's our chief correspondent, Richard Threlkeld.
Tawana Brawley said they left her nearly dead, a gang of white men who raped her and scrawled racial epithets on her body. A hideous story, and all this year, her family and her advisors have embellished it and refused to cooperate with an investigation they say is a cover-up.
We want to show the world how low-down, doggish, and callous this state of New York is.
Today, after 7 months, 6,000 pages of testimony, and 180 witnesses, a grand jury found beyond any doubt Tawana Brawley's story is a lie.
Those allegations are untrue. The people who made those allegations lied. They are false. There was no sexual assault found here.
So it turns out she made it all up. In fact, there was I couldn't find it. I could just find references to it. But there was a I forget if it was WABC or WCBS. But there was a news report where they actually interviewed people who knew her. who had said that the reason why they found her in a dumpster in her old apartment complex is because she snuck out to go hang out with her friends from her old apartment complex and partied for 4 days straight and was smoking crack and was afraid of being in trouble because her father was abusive and she didn't want to get an ass whooping. Like it was a stepfather, her real father, you know, as you can imagine, nowhere to be found. And so she staged it. And the reason why she was all kind of out of it when the paramedic showed up is she was high as a fucking kite. And they found lots of evidence to show that, for example, there were slices in her shoes, but she couldn't have been wearing the shoes when the cuts were made. And there was evidence at one of her friend's apartments that had similar... we'll just go into some of this right now. Let's see here.
It's not just my report. Of course, it's the grand jury's report. And when you read this report, it's hard to get past one page. That's the page where jurors prove that Tawana Brawley wrote racial slurs on herself and then smeared feces over the slurs. It's at the guts of Tawana's story. For months, her advisors have ridiculed anybody silly enough to suggest the filth found on Tawana was self-inflicted. Now, the jurors who spent months listening to all the evidence say just that and more. The Brawley report is tough, detailed, and blunt. On the key question of whether Tawana was raped, the grand jury says no. There was no medical or forensic evidence that a sexual assault was committed on Tawana Brawley.
If a 15-year-old girl had been forcibly raped or sodomized by multiple assailants over a 4-day period, there is a high probability that medical or forensic evidence would have been found.
What about that gang of white men, the alleged attackers? The grand jury says no. No gang, no men. And jurors point out, Tawana Brawley never provided a detailed account of her allegations or named her alleged assailants to anyone. As for the kidnap story, the report says no. It says the teenager actually stayed in a place she knew well. Jurors found Tawana Brawley had significant contact with her former apartment at some time during her 4-day disappearance.
Carpet fibers consistent with those from apartment 19A were found on the jeans, on the blouse, and the shoe Miss Brawley was wearing when discovered on November 28th. A burnt seam of denim and other charred cotton materials were scattered on the living room floor. The jeans Miss Brawley was wearing were burned and had pieces missing. And there were pieces of charred cotton found with the bag in which Miss Brawley was discovered.
Then there's the question, the Brawley say it's the only question, of cover-up by officials. But the grand jury found no cover-up. The report says there is no evidence that a cover-up occurred or was attempted in this case.
Significant numbers of personnel were assigned to the investigation by the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office as well as the Dutchess County District Attorney's Office. The Federal Bureau of Investigation was contacted by the Sheriff's Office while Tawana Brawley was still in St. Francis Hospital. The FBI was contacted based on the racial epithets on her body, even before she indicated that a white cop, quotes, was involved. All of the key evidence in the case was sent to the FBI laboratory in Washington, D.C.
But as to whether there was a cover-up by the Brawleys, the grand jury says yes.
It was alleged and indicated that Tawana Brawley was abducted, sexually abused, raped, sodomized over a 4-day period by 3 to 6 men, one of whom was a police officer. Those allegations are untrue. The people who made those allegations lied.
What should we expect from 21 whites from Dutchess County coming up with some conclusions when even John Santucci has made the comment about the New York City grand juries that people tend to vote their racial prejudices? So whatever they've come up with is what they've come up with. It is clear they never intended to arrest and prosecute those people who did this to Tawana Brawley.
So, it was just racism. Whites were just being evil, racist fucks. I'll tell you what, though. People do tend to... Look, he knows what he's talking about with that because blacks do tend to vote for black people regardless. Doesn't matter how, and that's most races. That's just the way that it is. But just another argument not to have a multiracial society. By the way, I mean it does kind of put your ability to have any form of justice in peril. I mean, just ask Derek Chauvin. The founders of this country intended for you to be judged by a jury of your peers. Who among you thinks that would include black people? When you think of your peers, don't you think of people like yourself? That's what it means, right? People that have at least roughly the same worldview. Maybe they disagree on, you know, things here and there. And we're not saying they have to be clones of you. That'd be unrealistic. But peers, you know, peers, that's people that are members of your community. And we can't have justice in this country if you're going to be tried as Derek Chauvin was tried. And then have people who are hostile to you deciding on whether or not you're guilty or not. You know, that's not justice at all. It's insane. It's insane. And we shouldn't have jury selection that's like that. And here's the thing: you can't even just say, "Well, the solution then is to segregate it. We'll have black juries for blacks." Be a fucking nightmare. Because blacks, as he just said, vote their racial prejudice. Again, look at the OJ trial. Just a couple years later. So you can't even fix it that way. You can't just say, well, white people will have white jurors. Okay, well, that's good. And black people will have black jurors. Well, that's not good, because that means like literally no black people will go to jail. Because they'll just get let off by their buddies. Because we're different. Because white people don't judge cases. The unfortunate thing is the whole boomerism, I don't see race, is unfortunately all too true of white people sometimes. And when they're on a jury, that's one of those times. Because they understand the jury instructions, they understand they have a sense of justice that is radically different than the sense of justice that a black person has. They have a sense of justice that's very similar to the people who designed the system of justice because they're descended from those people. And so even after all this, Al Sharpton and C. Vernon Mason and Alton Maddox were going around spreading the conspiracy theories, saying that it was a big cover-up, that the mob was involved, the IRA was involved, just name it, aliens were involved, Bigfoot might have helped out with the raping.
I think this is the biggest hoax that's ever been perpetrated on the American public at the expense of the taxpayers. This case has run into the millions, both federal, state, county, and local funds.
Again, that's the price you pay for having black people. The privilege of having a multiracial society. That's just one of the costs that's rolled into it. And for those of you who want a multiracial society, those are the costs that you're paying. You are paying, you have a subscription to that multiracial society. It's a premium channel that you're paying for. The problem is the cost is generational. And it's not just monetary costs. Just even in this case, even when blacks aren't outright murdering people, when they're just accusing people of kidnapping them and gang raping them in the forest. I mean, it ruins lives. The assistant DA lost his job and eventually lost his marriage, had to move away, and he eventually sued Tawana, but of course she doesn't have any fucking money. So to this day, she owes him like $500,000 because she's never going to fucking pay it. And This is him right here.
I found out, I think it was March 14th or 13th, it was on a Sunday, and I just started receiving phone calls. People were telling me, what'd you think about the press conference? And I had no idea what they were talking about, and later on that day I discovered that they were talking about Maddox and how he had accused me publicly on TV.
They were accusations without foundation.
He has eyed Tawana Brawley before.
But they were accusations that would change his life.
Before all of this happened, if anyone in this sleepy little town had ever heard of Stephen Pagonis, it was only because he was a Dutchess County prosecutor. Now his name has been in articles across the country, his face on the television sets in the living rooms of literally millions of homes, known in connection with the rape of Tawana Brawley. Throughout the case, Stephen Pagonis has maintained a friendly rapport with the press, which has recorded him every step of the way. He's put up with the strain it's put on his parents, his wife, his friends. He's received death threats and watched the Brawley advisors go public with lurid descriptions of his alleged involvement in the gang rape. This morning, Attorney General Robert Abrams meant to leave no doubt.
There is no forensic or other evidence that in any way connects Mr. Pagonis to any incident involving Tawana Brawley.
Do you think it'll ever really be completely over for you?
No. I think I'll always be tainted. I'm sure there's going to be people out there who will always wonder if I had something to do with this or if maybe there was a cover-up, even in spite of the fact that Mr. Abrams and the grand jury has concluded that there's nothing to Tawana's story.
The young prosecutor plans to file a lawsuit against Brawley and her advisors, and he says he also plans to move, though he wouldn't say when or where.
And again, and he had to. He ended up having to move and got divorced and, it fucked up his life. Fucked up his career path, everything. And he didn't even know who the fuck she was. He was just some white guy doing his job. But his proximity to black people was all it took to ruin his life. He wasn't going in the wrong neighborhood. He wasn't not relaxing. He was just some guy working at the DA's office. Had to cough there. But it didn't matter. His life was ruined. Again, Derek Chauvin, same thing, right? He's just some white guy that in fact, he's the shit thing about him, and this guy too, is most of the reason they even have a job is because of black people. Like, most of the reason they exist and get paid, they're trying to mitigate the disaster of a multiracial society. They're trying to limit the fallout, the consequences, the never-ending consequences of a multiracial society. So they're trying to be part of the solution. And they get fucked.
Although the grand jury didn't say so, authorities believe Miss Brawley staged the whole thing to escape punishment from her abusive stepfather for staying away from home, a charge she continues to deny.
I have not deceived my family, my advisors, and most of all, my people.
Oh. Black power!
But
Black
the
power.
Overwhelming evidence is she did just that and obstructed justice.
But unfortunately, which is kind of amazing to me, that was that's not like illegal, or I don't know if it is now, but it was not a crime they could charge her with in New York. So she was just, you know.
Kill Whitey!
Yeah!
And it was, you know. No charges, no consequences. You know, of course, they had the lawsuit and the judgment against her, and she's supposed to pay, you know, like $500,000 or something like that. But, you know, she's never going to pay that. Never in a fucking million years you're going to pay that. He's never going to see a dime of that. And it's because she was literally smoking crack for like 4 days. So some black chick you don't know smokes crack for 4 days, and next thing you know, your life is ruined.
Tawana Brawley, according to the grand jury, lied. But as that chapter is closed, another one is opening. Reaction from the three Brawley advisors came as the smoke was still clearing. They don't buy the report, and tonight they're fighting on. Right now, a rally is being staged in front of the New York Public Library, vowing to march to the New York Times building with the cry of cover up.
Yeah, and they kept the lie going, even though the grand jury... it was several pages. I actually downloaded the text of it. Let's see how many pages it is. It's 71 pages long. Well, actually, it's more than that. It's twice that, because each page on my PDF has 2 pages on it. So it's quite thorough. Lays it all out. Explains that there's literally zero evidence to suggest that any of this happened at all to her. And there's lots of evidence that suggests that she was hanging out with friends in her old apartment complex, smoking crack. And her refusal to cooperate with the grand jury kind of doesn't make it look any better. But, you know, lots of people for at least a year believed that story. And when the grand jury findings came out, it just went out the window. They just quickly forgot that for a full year they thought that a pack of rabid white law enforcement kidnapped a 15-year-old girl, brought her to the forest, and raped her for 4 days straight. That sounded realistic to him.
Almost from the moment Tawana was found, there had been questions about her supposed four-day ordeal. Allegations that she was actually at a series of wild parties, perhaps using drugs, maybe with an old boyfriend. Her lawyers tried to silence her accusers, charging them with racism.
I wonder would anyone ask, had it really happened, if she were not black?
Now, according to the New York Times, the grand jury has concluded Tawana and her backers were making up the story all along. Tawana and her family have since left the state.
Yeah, they fled the state. And then we got news from one of Al Sharpton's ex, I guess one of his peers, one of his co-workers, blew the whistle saying that Al Sharpton didn't even believe it. That he was purposely trying to make this into a thing for his own purposes.
This is, whole situation is not about Tawana Brawley.
What's it about?
It's about Mason, Maddox, and Sharpton sort of taking over the town, so to speak.
Have they told you this?
Yeah. Their exact words were, we beat this, we will be the biggest niggas in New York.
WCBS asked McKinnon to take a lie detector test. An expert confirmed that McKinnon's story was true, including his warning to Alton Maddox that the facts did not support Tawana's claims.
He says, I'm not going to pursue it legally, I'm going to pursue it politically.
That's his answer.
I don't care about no facts.
See, they don't care about facts. They just fucking hate Whitey. And they wanted to create a riot. They were purposely trying to create a riot so they could basically, in the same way BLM did, BLM created a riot situation and then only acquiesced after several multinationals, including Bank of America, I think gave, what was it, like $500 million or something crazy like that, like half a billion, like literally like half a billion dollars. Once they started getting all this BLM money, and then, like that black chick that worked at BLM bought that house in Malibu, multi-million dollar house in Malibu. And that's because black people are just that easy to whip up into a riot. Like, bottom line, that's what it is. It's funny because people will try to excuse the black behavior by saying, like, well, you know, they wouldn't do it if it wasn't for these race hustlers like Al Sharpton. It's like, bitch, yes, they will. And guess what? That race hustler Al Sharpton, there's like 50 of them. There's like new ones every year. And the reason why there's new ones every year is it's so easy to get black people to riot. I don't see any white leaders who, by the way, have a lot more to actually complain about with cases that aren't bullshit like this. I don't see them rioting at all. Doesn't matter how many white leaders that we have pop up. And no, it's not because they're better community organizers. It's because white people don't riot like that. Black people are just always looking for an excuse for chaos. And they lack either the reason or the desire to determine when these claims are complete bullshit.
McKinnon charged today that the three men had created a confrontational situation for a reason.
They're building all the makings of a riot.
They wanted to start a riot. That's what Al Sharpton had been trying to do with all these other cases, like the Michael Griffith case. Like, not even the chanting doesn't even change. They're chanting no justice, no peace. Like, it's the same thing. And it'll be the same thing in 10 years. It'll be the same thing in 20 years. It'll be the same thing in 100 years. If we're unable to dismantle this multiracialism, your descendants for infinity will be subjected to periodic incidents like this. And in fact, it'll get worse. As I said, as whites, their demographics shift. And by the way, it stops being just the blacks you got to worry about. It's other groups. And you don't have the same kind of white solidarity that you had in 1988, which even then it was kind of weak and limp-wristed. Not only is it going to go on for infinity, it gets worse for infinity. And it's crazy because even after all this, after all these years, Al Sharpton still doesn't deny, like, won't admit that he was full of shit. This is the Ozempic old man, Al Sharpton. But even after all these years, he's been asked to recant the story several times. And so not only does Tawana Brawley not have to suffer any kind of consequences for what she did, the lives she destroyed, the amount of money she forced the white people to pay for with her investigation, the millions of dollars, the time and resources that went into investigating her fake crime, while real crimes, probably many of them committed by other black people, were sidelined. The racial animus that she amplified within the hearts and minds of blacks all throughout the country, who, by the way, there's many still to this day that still believe that there was a cover-up. In fact, some of the footage I found was from YouTube channels that were still like the truth of Tawana Brawley. There really was a cover-up. Everyone knows that the white assistant DA and some cops, they had nothing better to do than to go kidnap some black chick and then rape her in the forest for 4 days. Even though there's zero evidence of even a rape happening, let alone them being there. But it's all a cover-up. And that's the story of Tawana Brawley. I know, a little shorter tonight, I guess. But there's really not much to say about that. I feel like this is I don't want to beat a dead horse. I feel like we've really talked a lot about this, and this is a case that I had to get through. Mostly because when I saw that thing about Bill Cosby. You know, like that stupid fucking tweet of like, what we need is more Jewish propaganda telling us that the blacks are like white people. You know, it's like when I saw that, I was reminded of fucking Bill Cosby pushing these fucking fake hate hoaxes. While he himself was raping chicks. Then we got Will Smith. Will Smith, who physically assaulted a comedian on live television and has like a tranny kid and some weird fucked up dominatrix wife. And I think probably went to P. Diddy parties and all that fun stuff. I don't know. Maybe the fat guy from Family Matters is all right. I haven't seen him in the news lately. He hasn't gotten in any trouble that I'm aware of. Isn't Bubba from Forrest Gump, speaking of black people, isn't he in jail? Like, didn't he like kill his girlfriend or something like that? I think he did, didn't he? Let me. What was it here? No, I guess he just beat her. He beat his wife. I don't think he didn't kill her. Oh, yeah. And then there was those two nightmare kids from... What was that 80s show where the white rich guy, the old rich white guy adopts two black kids? And then the actors that played the black kids were like holding up liquor stores and like getting smoking crack and shit. What was that? Different Strokes? Is that the name of that one? Yeah. Yeah, it was. Let's see here. What did they do? Yeah. Let's see here. Todd Bridges, who played Willis. Like, what you talking about, Willis? He became addicted to crack cocaine and was arrested in 1989 for attempted murder after shooting a drug dealer. Let's see here. Yeah, I guess now he's okay. So yeah, I mean, I guess that's what we need, right? We just need more Hollywood propaganda telling us about how awesome and friendly blacks are, while the actors playing these blacks are drugging women and raping them, and smoking crack and shooting drug dealers. That's all we need, and everything'll be fine. It'll be fine. Come on, Hollywood, just give us some more of that. Just give us more buddy comedies. Remember Lethal Weapon? Everyone liked Lethal Weapon. Yeah, it's like a white guy and a black guy. We did like 50 versions of that movie. A little Beverly Hills Cop. Just make more of those movies. Make more movies where like the stuffy white guys are paired up for some reason with a fun black guy like Eddie Murphy. Well, I guess he's too old now, but you know, find some other, you know, lovable Negro. They can teach the white people how to loosen up and have a good time like the blacks do. Then racism will be over. Fucking idiots, man. That's why I have to do what I do. So many people fucking believe that stupid fucking shit. They really do. They really fucking think that racial tensions are like a new thing. They're like a product of Barack Obama because he said that Trayvon Martin looked like his son or something. Oh, yeah, everything was fine. Everything was fine until Obama made everything so racial. No, that's just inevitably what was going to happen when you elect a black president. Is you're going to have him do what any black elected president would do and put a bunch of black people in charge and funnel a lot of, like the DOJ at the time was penalizing, like the HSBC deal and then just laundering that into black nonprofits. That's what you're going to get. I mean, it's a competing group. And they're going to try to make their group have more power while simultaneously undermining your power. That's just what's going to happen. That's how it works. And on some level, a lot of people fucking know that. That's why they vote around or along racial lines. The only reason why Obama, in fact, here's the fucked up here's the really stupid thing about saying that, well, we need more black people. The only reason why Barack Obama got elected was because of that fucking gay propaganda. It was because white people looked at Obama and was like, oh, he's like Bill Cosby, only skinny. He's married to a linebacker, but whatever. Let's put him in control. Blacks can do whatever whites can do. All this Hollywood propaganda has been telling me this for decades. It's so fucking stupid. Anyway, let's go to the hyper, or I guess super, I don't know what to even call him anymore. I don't even know what to call him anymore. I guess I'll call him like the entropy chats. Ah, the entropy chats. Here we go. All right, we have Aphis Crow. Aphis Crow subscribed, which I didn't even know you could do, but I appreciate that. He subscribed. Maybe that's it's like a Patreon kind of option that Entropy has. And again, I wasn't even aware of that option, but very cool. Really appreciate that. Historian Adam Egitt says, Wallace not being allowed to win. I think this is from last stream, maybe. Just didn't come in till now. Wallace not being allowed to win is the basis of a theory shared by Wallace supporter. I think maybe you meant supporters. He won Tennessee, North Carolina, and Florida and was tied for the lead in the last Gallup poll in May. He was shot the day before winning the Michigan and Maryland primaries, and helpless, paralyzed, Wallace lying on the ground was aired nonstop, destroying his image. Well, I mean, like, I don't know if that's... I don't know. I mean, maybe, I just don't, like, even if he won the nominee, I don't think he would have won the general. By that point, America was very, saturated with white guilt and hated the Southerners, for their racist ways. I mean, that was, generally speaking, that was the view of things. As far as I can, I mean, I wasn't alive, but just everything I find kind of points to that. It's kind of like that speech that we listened to from, oh God, now I'm going to forget. What was it? Starts with a P. Anyway, that it's from the, Yankee something edition from a few weeks ago, or actually probably more like a month ago now, where he talks about, or there was that Northerner that came down to the South during segregation to try to tell them how they need to reframe things because they were framing everything as a state's rights issue and not a racial survival issue. And they were, and he was explaining like, yeah, the Northerners think you're just basically the devil. And you're just petty and racist. He's not alone in that. That observation, there were lots of people saying that, and I just have a hard time believing he would have actually gone anywhere. But I haven't looked into it, so I don't know. And then you go on to say, I find the Wallace story curious because there is little interest in anything diverging from the official story. Unlike the JFK, MLK, RFK, and even Reagan shooters, it took place just as whites began voting as a bloc in Michigan and Maryland against busing. Maybe it was a lone nut, but it sure was convenient. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was. Yeah, I'm not saying that. I mean, because I know nothing about the shooter. I'd have to look into it. But I just don't think that even if he hadn't been shot, I don't think he would have won the general. Purple Sage.
Hi, John. It's Heather.
Hey.
Purple Sage finally set up on Entropy. Thank you for your excellent work, Mr. Stack. Well, I appreciate that, Purple Sage. And thank you for utilizing the Entropy there. And we got Gorilla Hands. Oh, I said the wrong button.
I'm just a weekend photographer.
Gorilla Hand says Jake Shields is making the rounds in Idaho on all of everyone's favorite right-wing shows. I like Jake, and he seems very based. Wish I knew about him during his fighting days. Anyway, smash the fire button and don't be a faggot. Well, there you go. Appreciate that. White Preservationist says, hey, Devin, thanks for all your awesome work. I found raw honey nearby this year, and it's been fantastic. Do you like raw milk? I've actually never had raw milk. I would imagine that I would like it, but I have never had it. And raw honey is good. Raw honey is good, but you can't... I have basic... Well, because I can just eat it right off the comb. Raw, barely filtered honey is the best. Where it's... It might even have a little bit of wax capping in it. Like a little bit. That's a little... It's whatever. It's just... Yeah. Little beeswax never killed anyone. But yeah, that stuff's great. I don't filter my honey that much. I filter it enough so you don't have like crap in it, you know, like you don't like garbage in it. But the way they filter honey is some of these guys obsessively until it's like this, you know, perfectly transparent, you know, like it looks like amber, and it's like, you know, you need a little more. I feel like you're taking some of the goodness out of that when you do it that way, but you know. I'm also more selective, though. That said, I'm more selective probably than a lot of these people when it comes to what frames I stick in the extractor. But yeah, I've never had raw milk. Volga German says, finally a stream about Jews. Can't wait to watch. Nice. Well, not really. This is a I guess the DA, or the prosecutor, special prosecutor was a Jew. And shockingly on the side of whites in this case. Yeah. In fact, I don't think it was him against him doing something to hurt blacks so much as I think he was just mad that Al Sharpton was being so aggressive and saying that he was doing it was like a personal vendetta for him. Not like, I don't think the racial aspect really played as much of a role. And then we got Beach Guys. Beach Guys with the big dodo.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. Beach Guys. Big Dick Because I Can. I love the song that goes with it. Thanks for what you do, Devin. Catch you on the replay. I'm not going to make it to 1 o'clock today. Well, hello to Beach Guys in the future. And I hope you're having a wonderful day. Thanks for the support there. And, yeah, nice to have you. Nice to have you here on Entropy. Historian Adamiga says, on a lighter note, did you see the Gray Zone did a live stream Friday entitled The Art of the Schlemiel regarding Trump? Two left-wing tribe members using the exact same title of one of your six-year-old videos is hard to beat. No, I've never seen the Gray Zone. I'm not even sure what that is. But maybe they know who I am, huh? Let's see here. The Gray Zone. I don't know. Is this Max Blumenthal's website? Okay. Well, I know who Max Blumenthal was, or is, but, I mostly just see him when he's on other shows, but I know who he is. I've never been interested enough in his point of view to like seek out his solo projects. But yeah, well, it might be a coincidence. It's probably a coincidence, but I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I'm always surprised. Like, I don't know. Like, I never want to get like in that mode where I think, oh yeah, like, you know, there's, I'm sure you guys have all seen like the crazy narcissist streamers. They're like, oh yeah, Trump's totally watching my streams. Oh yeah. You know, it's, I don't know if they believe it or if they're lying because they want their audience to think that that's how important they are or whatever. I obviously don't think that Trump's watching my streams, but there are, every once in a while, I'm surprised at who does, you know, every once in a while you're like, oh, what? Really? Oh, that's cool, I guess. Yeah. But who knows? Statutory ape.
Cash flow checkout.
I'd like to return this duck.
Statutory ape suggestion for a stream on the 1992 film Ladybugs, starring Rodney Dangerfield. It pushed transfaggery with boys in girls' sports and general degenerate shit on kids coming up in the 90s, early 90s, like myself. It's pretty bad. Here's a link to the trailer. No, I saw it many, many years ago on Comedy Central. I didn't like it. I saw part of it on Comedy Central when it was, again, this was a lot of years ago. And it was one of those, I've always, look, I can enjoy raunchy comedy, but there was something about the Rodney Dangerfield comedies that just weren't funny. Like, they were just degenerate, you know, like they were just degenerate for the sake of being degenerate. Like, there wasn't even like a funny punchline, and I didn't think he was that funny at all, you know. Like, it's weird when people talk about him like he's always like this comic legend, you know, take my wife, please. It's like, well, is he though? Like, I know all these comics would always reference him like he's one of the greats, and it's like, he was really popular, I guess, but he just seemed like he just seemed like a child molesty Jew. You know, he even had like the bug eyes, like the crazy eyes. I never thought he was that funny. In fact, I feel like if you ever watched Natural Born Killers, and he plays the rapey dad of the chick in Natural Born Killers, I remember watching that and thinking, like, that's just probably how he is. You know, like the character he's playing in that movie, I picture him as just being like that. But yeah. Eris Rosenberg. Appreciate that. I think it looks like a salute. It's hard to know. It's like entropy emoticon. Mark Espy says, your video about the wave reminded, I think you mean me, of the Stanford prison experiment, completely exaggerated and recently confirmed to be fraudulent. If it sounds too ridiculous to be true, it is. Yeah, there was, I think there was a lot of motivation for people in that field of psychiatry to come up with something groundbreaking, and that's how it would make your name, right? That's how you would become you're the famous guy that did this experiment, you know? Forever you would be in the books, the textbooks, and maybe get funding forever because you confirmed some liberal ideal by doing some bullshit experiment. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't looked. I know vaguely of what you're talking about with the Stanford prison experiment, but I've never looked at it too hard. Man of low moral fiber says, white men do not rape black women. The Duke lacrosse story is a similar in many ways. Yeah, there you go. It's literally very similar ways to this one. might be worth covering if you haven't already. Rich Duke boys are not interested in a crack whore. Exactly. No, it's the same thing. It's this, once again, it's white people who, because black people exist. Now, those guys probably shouldn't have hired a prostitute. I mean, that was where they, I mean, they could have avoided that whole thing by just not hiring a fucking prostitute. All right. So that's not quite as, you know, quite the same. But yeah, all the same, their lives got fucked up for no reason too. Coincidence says, thanks for your deep dives into history. I look forward to your streams every week. Hopefully you understand the importance of this work and continue creating content for a very long time. Well, I will with your support. That's what allows me to do this. And, yeah, because tell you what, the bee business isn't going to be picking up anytime soon with all the losses I had this winter. I mean, I was hoping to have a much bigger operation this year, and I'm just playing recovery. I finally got the package of bees installed that showed up this week, and yeah, I'm going to have to go out and check on them actually tomorrow, because someone gave me, it's not like an Apame hive, but like it's like a generic Chinesey. It's not even like an Apame knockoff. It's like a totally different Chinesey plastic hive. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna try this out. And I didn't realize till I was already putting bees into the hive that, like, wait a second, those frames don't look right. And it's because the hive's the wrong size, and like, so the frames are all spaced wrong, and so they're gonna fuck up all the comb. And so I gotta get into that hive tomorrow and fix that up. It just, yeah, I you have to give them a couple days after you dump them into a new home where they might abscond. So hopefully they'll be chill tomorrow. Weather's supposed to be all right. But yeah, appreciate that. Based Hank Hill says, the 90s were the worst decade ever. Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. Quentin Tarantino and the Weinstein brothers can choke on a fat dick. Joe McCarthy was right. I don't know if the 90s were like the worst decade ever, but I'm just saying, like, this romanticizing the 90s is completely ridiculous. I mean, just the culture generally was so far more degraded than it was even in the 80s. You know, like, I will tell you this. The 90s weren't the worst decade ever, but they were worse than the 80s in some ways. I mean, the 80s were bad in different ways. But, and actually, weirdly, the 70s, I feel like, were worse than the 80s, though. I feel like the 70s were like that. If I had to pick a decade that was the worst, I think I'd pick the 70s. Crazy Chris says, I make all the guys in WLM Ohio watch your PatCon series. Important not to repeat the same mistakes. You should look up Danny Lee Hill. Just a reminder of what you're fighting against. Oh, why is the neighbor's dog's over here? I wonder if it's a snake. Like, it's been very snaky out here the last few days, and the neighbor's dog is close to my property barking. Normally I'd go check it out, but I'm doing a show. Sure, it's not a big deal. I'll have to look into that. Absolutely Zero says, hi, Devin. I had sent an earlier chat to you around the time you started using Entropy. It was my first time donating to you. Your stream had just ended when it was sent. Just wondering if you received it. I don't know where I would look. I would assume, you know what might have happened? So there was a imposter Devin Stack on Entropy for like a day before I even set up Entropy. And apparently people sent money to the imposter, and the people Entropy, at least they said, they diverted that to me. They intercepted it and sent it to me. But I wouldn't have seen those chats. So if you sent it, you, you know, that early, maybe it went to the wrong guy. He didn't get your money, or at least that's what they say. But I didn't see it. If I didn't read it on, because the thing with entropy is they stay on. So even if I don't, just like today, right? There were like three chats from last stream that didn't come in until after I was off the air. But I saw them now because they stay in the queue. So I didn't read it didn't come through in that way. But according to the entropy people, they fixed all the, you know, the shit with the imposter Jew. Devin Shylak. Some guy says they're probably getting coaching from some Marxist training camp like the blacks who fucked Rhodesia were. No way they come up with this shit on their own. What are you talking about? The lawyers and stuff? Al Sharpton and the lawyers? Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out where they went to school. And, I would assume that... Let's take a look here. Well, I mean, he went to Columbia Law School at a time when Columbia Law School was like super Jewy. So, I mean, just, he couldn't, you heard him talk. That's the guy that was speaking and saying, I'm telling Waddy that I'm not going to, that guy went to Columbia. There's no way he would even be admitted into Columbia if it was a meritocracy, right? So he, just the fact that he was put into a law school like Columbia tells you that he was getting help. As far as, let's see here, I'm just looking at his Wikipedia. He was disbarred in 1995. And yeah, I don't think that he's, maybe, I don't think he practices law anymore. Yeah, he was disbarred. No, disbarred in 1995 and has not practiced law since. But yeah, and then there's the Alton Maddox. Let's see where that guy went to school. Well, he went to Howard, which is a black school. And then he went to Boston College Law School. I think he was, he was also, was he disbarred? He wasn't disbarred, but he's been, he was indefinitely suspended by the appellate division of the state Supreme Court in Brooklyn after failing to appear before a disciplinary hearing to answer allegations regarding his conduct in the case we went over tonight, the Brawley case. And then in 1996, he was ordered to pay New York State $1,000 in legal costs for filing a false complaint of racial bias. It alleged that he had to apply to represent an indigent defendant in a murder case, while two lawyers who were white had been appointed to represent the other defendant in the case without having to apply. The state showed evidence that, in fact, the two lawyers had applied and that Maddox had filed a discrimination suit instead of going through the application process. The following year, Maddox and his group, the United African Movement, were fined $10,000 by the New York City's Commission on Human Rights after they denied a white teacher access to speech by Cornel West on the basis of her race. Well, now they can just see that's one thing, I guess, that was slightly better in the 90s, right? Is that she even was successful in that case. I don't think you'd be successful today. Let's see here. Oh, and then he died. and he died last year. Actually, he died like almost a year ago exactly. Or no, 2 years ago exactly. He died on April 23rd, 2023. It says he had dementia in his years prior to his death. I don't know. They might have just been shifty blacks, you know? Shifty blacks going to elite schools. And, with Jewish professors. And a Jewish living in America with a Jewishly defined narrative in the society that would constantly give them they bent over backwards for them to get into whatever school they wanted to and give them the kind of prominence and notoriety that they didn't deserve. It might have just was it organized beyond that? I don't know, possibly. I don't have any evidence of it yet. Sharpshooter, hey Devin, whites would never rape a Shibun. Raping a Negro is equal to bestiality. Well, it literally doesn't happen. Like there's entire years, if you look at the FBI statistics, there's entire years that go by without a single white on black rape. With literally zero. The opposite is not true. Bessemer. Bessemer says, hi Devin, what an evil little girl, and all the evil people that blew this up, grifters. Thank you for the show. Well, I appreciate that, Bessemer. And we got Blunderbuss.
When you're trying to save money, a good rule to follow is to... Take it from me, Jim Neighbors. It'll pay dividends.
Blunderbuss, true story, not a word of lie, went with family to the Holocaust Museum earlier today. My aunt said that her deceased uncle used to put a black comb in front of his upper lip to simulate a square mustache, and then snap out a certain salute, and then my aunt did a demonstration right then and there. Still not in jail. Well, not yet. It depends on where you are in the world. I don't know where you are, but I'll tell you one thing that's not looking good in terms of staying out of jail for doing shit like that. And by the way, why were you even at a Holocaust museum? That's like saying, I was at the gay bathhouse today, and then my aunt did this really based thing, and I'm like, well, hold on, I got back. Why are you at the gay bathhouse? Like, well, hold on, get back at the gay bathhouse. That shit's going to change because of this was today, or I guess technically yesterday. Donald Trump says, I'm proud to nominate Yehuda Kaplun as the United States Special Envoy to Monitor and Combat Anti-Semitism. Ambassador at Large, Yehuda is a successful businessman and staunch advocate for the Jewish faith and the rights of his people to live and worship free from persecution. With anti-Semitism dangerously on the rise, Yehuda will be the strongest representative for Americans and Jews across the globe and promote peace. Congratulations, Yehuda. Well, the thing about Yehuda, in fact, isn't he the guy? He might be the guy that was promoting no hide laws at a Trump rally during the election. Let's see here. I gotta see. Yeah, it looks like him, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, let me I know I put this on my Telegram, but I gotta scroll through a lot of shit. Cause I'm trying to remember what I would have Yeah, no, it is. It's the Noah Hyde guy. So this is from the... This is from the Trump rally before, or a Trump rally before the election. He's a Chabad rabbi, and he literally prayed for Noahide laws on the campaign trail. And, you know, MAGA boomers loved it. They thought it was great. Why not, right? They'll make excellent Noahides. Let me pop this up here. So this is him praying for Noahide laws.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us take a moment.
Oh, wait. Why is it playing the wrong one? There we go.
Let's take a moment to pause and unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, creator of the heaven and earth, we stand here today as a diverse and proud people, bound by the love of freedom and the blessing of this great nation. We thank you for the freedoms we hold dear, for the opportunities that await us, and for the courage that lies within each of us. May we always strive to uphold these ideals with integrity and honor. We ask for your blessing and protection over the United States of America and its military. Strengthen our leaders that they may govern with wisdom, compassion, and steadfast commitment to justice. May our communities be safe, our differences respected, and our unity strengthened. We also pray for our friend and ally Israel, that she should eradicate her enemies, the hostages should be released, as we say, bring them home. May she have true peace and security. May her people and all those who seek peace find comfort and strength in your embrace. May the Almighty God, who blessed our patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, bless President Donald J. Trump, that he should be safe and successful. May all those who work with him and work to serve this nation be blessed with health, wisdom, courage, and a heart of service. In this moment of prayer, we recognize our shared duty to each other and our country. May we move forward together, seeking to build a future that reflects the will of God and his values based on the 7 Noahide laws that will unite us all together. Amen.
Oh, great. And and then watch all the MAGA boomers, like, loving this.
Prayer in Hebrew. Misha Berech Havaseinu, Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Moshe V'Aaron, Dovid Shlomo, Yivarech HaSakol HaZeh, V'Sashem Tov, Nisienu, Donald J. Ben Fred Trump, Pavur Shekibel Alatz,
Lishmur Lohogan HaYisrael. Look at the guy on the right, raising his hand up. Look at that. That's like a Paula White guy.
Donald J. Ben Fred Trump.
Look, see that guy on the right-hand side? He's just like, oh, I'm feeling the spirit. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling that Jew spirit.
Avur shekibel alatz my lishmar lahagan al Yisrael, uschazer kodesh baruch yishmereyu v'atzleim mekol tzora v'mtzuka, chol nega machla v'yarech yamim v'shan mamalachtoi v'yishachloi v'kulanu bracha.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. So that guy is now the United States Special Envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism. So he's probably monitoring this. So that's exciting. So enjoy your Hitler salute to the Holocaust Museum while you can. But thank you very much, Blunderbuss. Lieutenant Dan says, once again, I, my fat little retarded toe, Elmo Waffen, have been given a new name against my will because I'm lazy and used Google. For the sake of conversation, how do you feel about Folsom Prison Blues? With the Johnny Cash song? I mean, I don't know. Johnny Cash is a mixed bag because he's obviously the content of his songs are not great in terms of promoting good values and whatnot. But is it always bad to have a anti-hero from time to time when it comes to white entertainment? I don't know. I mean, I don't think people are really taking all of his songs seriously. Look, I like Johnny Cash, his music, but you know, if you're asking me in terms of like values and stuff, it's not something I want my kids to listen to, you know, that sort of thing. Welcome back, now with your new name, Lieutenant Dan. Historian Adam Egan says Chappelle mentioned on SNL that Carl Winslow was supposedly caught in the act with Diddy, so even the TV sitcom dad from that stupid tweet isn't safe. Really? Carl Winslow? That's the fat guy from Family Matters, right? I'm pretty sure. And he's in Die Hard, isn't he? Yeah. Well, there you go. So that's every example he gave was retarded. And the man of low moral fiber says, I don't think they hired her as a prostitute. They hired a stripper company. Still stupid. Yeah, but you know what I mean. Same thing. But they didn't solicit sex from her. None of them touched her. Oh, I know, but I'm, you know. Still not, you know, I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm just saying you could have just not hired her. And you wouldn't have had that problem. All right, going over to Rumble. All right, and on Rumble we have Reunicate gifted me a subscription to my own channel, I guess. That's awesome. Thank you. And then we got... scroll. Here we go. Gravy Bear says there's an election happening in Australia. Hearing the boomers all talk about what they think is important is nauseating. They hate being told their generation is responsible for all the mess. And look, they'll go to the grave with it. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's just the way it is. You will never get the boomers to take responsibility for the role they're... Look, on a personal level, many of them don't have responsibility, but like they'll never even as a generation or admit that their generation presided over the decline and often allowed it to happen and that they were tricked. And that's why they will never admit to it. Well, that's part of why. Part of it is obviously who wants to admit to that. But the other part of it is that would be admitting that you were tricked. And they'll go to the grave believing that they weren't tricked because of their... I mean, look, you think blacks have racial narcissism. Boomers have generational narcissism that I would say is just as powerful. Let's see here. Then we got Yo Jim Bob Rockford. As soon as I saw the thumbnail, I knew this would be a good one. Here's some shekels from the Goy Pigs I deliver Zog Slop to on the weekends. God bless you, brother. Take care. Well, you know, stay safe on the road there, and hopefully we're giving you something to pass the time as you deliver the Goy Slop to the Goy Pigs. It's shocking that you have that job. I thought that job was all Nigerians and Haitians at this point. But, yeah, stay safe out there. Hopefully you're not in a dangerous area. I remember I used to deliver pizza back in the day. And there were some... I'll tell you what. First of all, blacks never tip. Never tip. For how much they bitch about tips now, like you see these viral tweets all the time about blacks, like, all pissed off because, first of all, it's usually through an app or a situation where tipping's not even like necessarily, I mean, it's never required, but it's not even like socially, you know, like you should do it. And you see them bit, like, I think I saw this one where this black lady was delivering groceries from like Walmart. I don't know what it was, but it was like a situation where I probably wouldn't have tipped, you know, cause it's just like I don't tip the UPS guy either. You know what I mean? And she got really pissed off and took all their groceries and put it back in her car and drove away. And it's just like, bitch, you people never fucking tip. Never fucking tip. Same thing with Indians. Well, I don't know about East. I've never delivered anything to East Indians, but I mean the Feather Indians, never, never. And with Mexicans, it's like, like maybe a 10 to 20% chance. Red Pilled says, always great content, Devin. Well, I appreciate that. Then we got the Shogun says we must be agents of chaos. There's no other way. Oh, we have to be wrenches. As what was that? Murdoch had that episode where they were making the point that, like, at least we can always be a wrench that we, you know, throw ourselves in the gears. And I think that's a nice metaphor. That's a nice metaphor. Words Are Words says, best stream on the internet. Well, I appreciate that. Chucky's Extremist Circus. That's kind of an elaborate name. Conjures up all kinds of images. There will always be racial tensions. My boss kept buddying me with blacks and old liberal white women. I can't stand working with the people, period. But I fucking hate working with the Negroes. And liberal white women are a pain in the ass to work with too, because they just fucking suck at everything. The Shogun says we must be. Oh wait, I don't know. Rumble repeats things sometimes. I gotta scroll through it again. Gen Exterminator says Gen Exterminator for some reason. Well, hello, Gen Exterminator. Spy Guy says, we'll catch the replay tomorrow, but your streams are the highlights of my week. Love the work. Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I like knowing that this is useful to you guys. It means I'm not just screaming into the void. All right. Let me take one more look over at Entropy before we shut her down. All right, we're good over on Entropy. Short one tonight, but I, you know, like I said, not really much more to say than what we went over. I could sit there and opine about the Negro problem forever, but I think you guys get it at this point. What could I say that Tawana Brawley and her lawyers didn't already say for me? All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys have a good evening, and we'll be back here on Wednesday. And in the meantime, stay safe out there. For Blackpilled, I am, of course, Devastag. Now I gotta go find out what that dog's barking at.
I guess I want to take this opportunity to tell you a little bit about my pants.